Welcome to episode number 2 of Slacker Astronomy. Every week or so, we will bring you a recent news event in the world of astronomy. And if nothing is happening, we'll point our telescopes in our neighbor's windows and give you a play-by-play. As many of you have probably seen from our site, Pamela was away last week with Aaron at a workshop in Las Cruces, New Mexico. On Thursday, they went on a day trip to a local radio telescope facility called the Very Large Array, or VLA for short. If you've seen the movies Contact or 2010, then you've seen the VLA. The radio dishes are big and white in the middle of a vast field surrounded by mountains. They had intended to make a sound-seeing tour of the visit, so they brought their trusty iPods and iTalks and proceeded to look goofy talking loudly into their hands like Captain Kirk on an away mission. While people are used to astronomers being goofy, they turned it into an art form worthy of the Turner Prize. But, of course, best-laid plans have a tendency to get stomped on by Mother Nature. It was very windy out there, and our mics were quite unhappy. But they were able to save a few segments of various quality, which we will intersperse into this show. So, when you hear poor quality audio, that's us in the studio. And when you hear poor quality audio and some wind, that's us at the VLA sound-seeing tour. The VLA has 27 telescopes, spread out in a Y shape over 36 kilometers, that's 22 miles for us stubborn Americans, near Socorro, New Mexico. Instead of looking for visual light from the sky, these radio telescopes listen for radio waves. Note that radio waves are not sound waves. They are electromagnetic waves, just like visible light. Radio waves can be used to transmit information that can be turned into sound, which is how a car radio works, but by themselves, they don't make any noise at all. Let's listen to the first segment of the tour.
This is Aaron. I'm with Pamela. We're at the Very Large Array. And we just got off the bus, and the first thing that strikes me is that it's awful chilly and windy out here.
We're surrounded by telescopes. It's in one of the larger configurations, and there's snow off in the mountains, and it's just one of those days you never quite imagine in New Mexico.
Now, why would we be listening to radio waves from space? Do we expect to hear rock and roll coming in from Alpha Centauri? Not yet. But everything in the universe emits light. The temperature of the object determines the color of the light. And most of the light coming from objects that are very cool is in the form of radio waves. So, when we want to look at a cool object, we prefer to use radio waves, since the object will be brighter. Examples of cool objects are clouds of gas, regions of low-density dust, pulsars, old galaxies, and ZZ Top. But radio telescopes can look at anything. Those are just the coolest and therefore the brightest. Radioscopes can also look at planets, asteroids, blazars, neutron stars, and a lot more. At one point in the tour, the dishes moved from one target to another. Aaron and Pamela described it into the iPod.
So as the tour guide was talking, the dishes began to move to another target. They moved so slowly, at least to my eye, it was difficult to notice. I had to kind of stop and really pay attention. I tried to take some video, which we'll put on the site if it worked.
It's a bit startling because you look over and at 1 minute they're pointed out towards the horizon and then you turn your back and they're pointed off somewhere completely different, but they're completely silent. People look like small toy models next to these telescopes and yet you hear no rumbling as they change their position in the sky.
There's one dish that is pointed, it looks like, directly at the horizon. It's not following the pack. Is this the black sheep?
I don't know. It certainly does seem to have a mind of its own. I heard that they're doing some software tests today. Maybe that one's either working independently or just broken. That happens as well out here.
Light is a weird thing. It can be a wave or a particle. When described as a wave, it naturally has a wavelength. The length of radio waves is very long, sometimes miles long. One benefit of long wavelength is that the radio waves can penetrate many objects, so astronomers can use the VLA radio telescopes during bad weather conditions that usually tick off other astronomers. Let's hear about that now from one of the VLA tour guides talking from the outdoor observation deck.
This is where we have it over on you optical guys. We don't care what the weather is doing. Rain or shine, sleet or snow, we can be observing, which is always nice. There is one time, however, that we can observe, and that's during high winds. We have anemometers on each side of our antennas out there, and if they register a sustained 40 miles an hour for 2 minutes, the computer will automatically turn the antenna up into bird bath position because it's less wind resistant then. We've sustained winds of 96 miles an hour out here before and come away unscathed.
The real advantage of long wavelength is something really cool called interferometry. Interferometry is a method to combine many small radio telescopes so that they act as one super big one. The VLA was the first large-scale system to use interferometry. Each of the 27 scopes points to the same object in the sky at the same time. The light is recorded by each scope and then combined using very precise computers and timing equipment. When combined, all 27 telescopes spread out over 36 kilometers act as one single telescope of 36 kilometers in size. That is one big scope. And instead of building a 36-kilometer-sized telescope, which would be almost impossible, we only have to build 27 much smaller ones. So what is the benefit of a scope of this size? Well, it's in the details. We can really zoom in on a tiny portion of the sky, allowing us to see details and objects that were previously hidden. Aaron once talked to a VLA expert about possibly using the VLA to look at a star. The experts responded, "Sounds like a good idea. Which part of the star do you want to look at?" Aaron meekly got the point. The VLA is all about detail. So the detail is nice, but what's the catch? Well, the catch seems to be that the sensitivity of the instruments is still only as good as the size of one of those dishes, so we can't really see faint objects. But what we can see very, very well. It's like using a microscope while wearing sunglasses. Each of the 27 dishes sits atop three pylons while observing the sky. The pylons are connected by railroad tracks. Every few months, the dishes are moved from one pylon to another as the array is extended or contracted in that Y shape. Scientists do this in order to change the detail seen on an object. Sometimes you don't want a lot of detail. For example, if you want to look at an entire star, you don't want to be zoomed in on a specific feature, as Aaron found out. Let's listen to Aaron and Pamela describe the VLA from the observation deck.
This
tunnel is
closed. This wormhole is closed. They're currently spread out in their next to longest of their configurations that they have. So it seems perfect. You can barely see the last scope at the edge of each part of arm of the array. But the clouds look like they're about to land. You know, it looks like it's perpetually raining. I'm not sure that rain's hitting the ground or not, but it's just an eerie look because it's sunny. There's these dark clouds, dark hills. It's really quite nice.
The first job I ever had in high school was reducing VLA data. And my grandma brought me out here because, well, I was a dorky high school student who couldn't drive. And all the telescopes were pulled in close, and I really didn't get any sense of the scale of this place. And last time I was here, it was again all pulled in close, and this is my first time seeing it like this, and it's just spectacular. They space out into the horizon, and they match the snow, and they match the clouds, and it's just beautiful.
The VLA was built in the 1970s and 80s and funded by the National Science Foundation. They are in the process of updating the receivers and computer equipment from the 1970s to cutting-edge technologies. And it is one of the most visible astronomical observatories to the public and is one of the most popular among astronomers. It is very difficult for astronomers to get time on the VLA. If you aren't wicked smart, then you better have some blackmail goods on a member of the VLA scheduling committee.
They currently have a lot of funding cuts out here. They actually had to cut 5% of their personnel. And as a result, they're still using 1970s technology, 1970s waveguides.
But they're not wearing 1970s clothes, otherwise it'd be a little bit more interesting.
Well, we haven't seen everyone yet. I'm sure there's some astronomers still wearing 1970s clothes. But it's frustrating and exciting all at once to see all the great technology that's out here and see how hard it is for them to move into this century.
And now for something completely different. On the way to the VLA, there is a rock formation that looks exactly like Jabba the Hutt. Fellow astronomer Matthew Templeton, who got his PhD at New Mexico State University, alerted us to it and took a picture from the tour bus. It's available in the show notes on our website. Our question now is, how long will it take before George Lucas decides to sue the owner of the land for royalties? Take our poll also on the website. Well, thanks for bearing with us through episode number 2 and our first sad attempt at a sound-seeing tour. Next week, we'll be all back together for a regular show. And in the meantime, please visit slackerastronomy.org for show notes, pictures from the visit, and to leave feedback. We're going to soon create a second feed for our non-news shows, such as sound-seeing tours, chit-chat shows, monolithic monologues, and more. Stay tuned to the site for info on that. And thanks for listening. And no, you don't get your 8 minutes back. For Pamela and Aaron, this has been Travis Searle. You've been listening to Slacker Astronomy, a podcast for us, for you, and for the voices in our heads.
Sharing information, we're just sort of glorifying and hanging out. It's moving again. It's moving. Oh, geez, it just zigzagged across the sky. It zags left, and then now it's dropping down.